Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Amen. Usher in the word of the Lord. Out of Acts, and you don't have this scripture, Philip, so don't worry about it. Don't fret back there. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and we move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Today's message is the culmination of an event that we had yesterday, One Race Movement. Incidentally, if you were able to participate yesterday at the mountain and come, would you stand? If you were able to participate, amen. That's right. It was definitely an outpouring and a praise to God. Thank you so much. If you missed it yesterday, it's not too late, because that was the beginning of what's about to happen in Atlanta, in Metro Atlanta. We don't think that that was the culmination of building up to an event, a one-time event. That was the catalyst. That was the springboard to what we have to do next. And it's not going to be easy, but it's got to be intentional. And that's what we're talking about today. The door that you see on the screen, my wife took this. I just came back from Peru. I had a great trip in Peru. We brought pictures back, we bought conversation back, we brought a little bit of souvenir money back, we brought a bug back that we didn't intend to bring back, and so we're getting over that. Praise the Lord, He's sustaining. Hallelujah, that's right, for His touch, absolutely. But this door from Peru, I wanted to use it as an image and a metaphor today about many things for the Fountain Church. It is meant for us as a visual, and this is why Charlotte took it at the beginning. It's like, what is the open door for us in global missions, in Peru, in Guatemala, in Africa, wherever the Lord takes us? What is that open door? Because when it opens, we must walk through, right? Scripture says there's no door that God opens that we can shut, and there's no door that's shut that we can open. In other words, we need to follow Him and His lead, and we will do that. But it's also a door, it's an open door for the city, for the Kingdom Church, for this local congregation to be involved in with the One Race Movement. And we're here to be a part. It's not on our shoulders, it's on our shoulders as the Kingdom Church in these communities to be intentional about pushing forward the One Race Movement, about revival and racial reconciliation. It's about reaching out to people that don't look like us, accepting them, not just accepting them, walking side by side in life with them as brothers and sisters in Christ, because under Christ we are one. We are one. He created us as one nation. As one body, we were all the bride of Christ. It's not there's an African-American congregation that's the bride of Christ. There's an Asian congregation that's the bride of Christ. There's a Latino congregation that's the bride of Christ. There's a white congregation that's the bride of Christ. No, we were all one, the bride of Christ. We are the body. There's many members. We all have, yes, go ahead, give it to God. It's about God. It's not about one person. It's not about a group of people. It's about a nation that God created for His glory. And this message today is about standing for justice. We like the sound of that. And we like to see it when people do that. And we cheer them on. But you see, God has called us all to stand for justice. And I confess to you, admit to you, there have been times when God has called me to stand that I didn't do it because it was uncomfortable, because I might fear what he might ask me to do, or how it might make me look to other people. But he calls us all to stand for justice. Yesterday was a monumental day for our city, and specifically for the church and our city pastors, our ministry leaders, and servants of God from many denominations across cultures, across generations. We stood together on Stone Mountain and covenanted together to stand against racism in every form. And it's not just black and white. That's not just what racism is. Racism comes across generations, against colors, against cultures. Yesterday was a day we've never seen before in the city of Atlanta, and we're only at the beginning. Our desire and intention, and believe me, we have to be intentional. It's not going to happen. It's not happenstance. We've tried that in the past, and it never culminated in anything. It has to be intentional. It's to have more, many more moments like what happened yesterday. Over 15,000 people came together to cry out to God to wipe away racism and let this be a catalyst for the nation, for the world. It matters to God, and it should matter to us. And I say that as a church because that's going to be part of our vision, part of our emphasis. And you have to decide if you're going to be on board or not. Because if you're not on board, you're in the way. And I hate to say that. Many people don't like it when pastors say that. But you got to make a decision on which side of the fence, which side of the line you're going to stand on. Because that's the direction that we're going. It's a moment where Jesus' prayer in John 17 is beginning to be fulfilled before our eyes. John 17, it'll be on the screen. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. This is Jesus praying for you today. Way back over 2,000 years ago, he was praying for you and me. He knew we would be here, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and me. You in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me so that they may be brought to complete unity. You hear that? Unity only happens when we are one in the Father and in Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can act like it. But to truly be transformed, it has to come through the Father and the Spirit. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved them. Because if we have the Father in us, then we have no fear. Then there are no restrictions, no boundaries that we can't go because he has called us to go. And where he's given us a vision to go, he'll make the provision for us to go. So let's take a moment. I want to reflect. I've got a video up there. Is the video going to play, Philip? I just want you to see. Is it? Okay, this is on top of the mountain. Just watch this for a second. Now, there's a couple pictures I want you to see right here, too. This is from the lawn. And this wasn't even full yet. This was taken before everybody got down from the mountain. And there was about 2,000 people or more up on the mountain. The lawn was packed. I got there at 8:30 yesterday morning, and I went up on top of the mountain, and it was just beginning. The worship band was there. And they just started playing songs, and then people, more people, and more people. And all of a sudden, the millennials started ascending. To me, that was the most powerful moment of the day. Because I was up there, and I was praying. I was greeting my pastor friends that I had been praying with over the last year for this. And we had fellowship together, and I got to pray with some folks that I didn't know that didn't look like me, and just stand there and worship God. Because, you know, in warfare, and that's what this is, don't think that it's not anything other than warfare in our nation. Worship has to come first. Because out of our worship, God will lead us. God will guide us. God will get the glory. And so there was preparation for warfare going on top of the mountain. But when they called, when those millennials got up there, and they had about 2,000 of millennials up there. At one point, as pastors, we surrounded the millennials, and they were in the middle, and we asked them to raise their hands if they were willing to pick up the baton, to take the torch on to the next generation and not let it die here, that they're the ones that have to continue and pass it on. And the moment was powerful. They raised their hands. It was such a blessing to see their inhibited worship to God. They were up there dancing and moving, and they were just giving it all to God. And it was refreshing to see millennials, who statistics say they're running away from the local church. But to see that many say, "No, I'm standing. I'm committed. I'm gonna take the word of the Lord. I am gonna do what He asked me to do, no matter how hard it is. And racism will not exist on my watch." But you know what? They need us. I'm not a millennial. I'm barely a baby boomer. But we all fit in a category. And you know, see, generationally, they need us to undergird them, older folks, to pray for them, to encourage them, to give them resource to what they need so that they can carry it on. That's our responsibility. You can't take up space. You got to participate. God has called us in different ways, in a special way. As a church, we have a part, no matter how small or intricate, or no matter how massive and big it is, we all have a part, and it's under God's plan. It would be very easy to come to the Bible picking the bits that we like and ignoring anything that makes us feel uncomfortable. You been there? But if we did that, then we would only hear a reflection of our own preferences. In other words, we hear what we want to hear, and we take what we want to take, and we leave the rest. We would always be affirmed, but we would never be challenged. God is not dependent on us. His will be done. The choice is, do you want to be part of His will? Do you want to be a conduit of His will for His will to come to fruition? I know I do. You could spend your whole life shaping a God to your own liking, a God who loves what you love, a God who says what you want to hear, and a God who calls you to live as you are already living. But such a God is only a projection of you. At the end of the day, what use is a God who was designed by you or me? A God who is shaped by you will die with you. A God who is shaped by me will die with me. But that's not the God we serve. Such a God cannot help you, because that God has no existence apart from you. That's not the God I serve. My God has been here from the beginning and will be here after I'm gone from this earth. That's the God who is just, who is righteous, who is sovereign. He is the God that remains. If we served a God that was just about you and me and what we liked, He would not be a foundation. He would leave. It would slip out of under our feet. But He is the rock. He is the refuge. And He has been since the beginning of time. And He will be long after. It's a great comfort to know that God's righteousness and justice are as sure as the morning comes, as sure as the sun will set and rise each day, because the same God who created the sun to do just that is the God who will not stand for injustice and wants His people to want what He wants and will do what He will do. Believe Him and what He will do, and will be the conduits to accomplish His will. Be the feet who will run to the battle, church. Be the arms that will hold back oppression. Be the hands that will hold one another who doesn't look like you. Be the voice who will speak with the words of God rolling off your tongue, one to rebuke the devil and the actions of any who will be used of him, who would speak words of love and encouragement and assurance to those that racism is projected toward. That's standing up for justice. We would fight the battle on our knees and also with our bodies. Standing in the gap, we must be intentional. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 says, God is just. It's who he is. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. He's in your corner. But he uses us to stand in the gap. Because as human as we are, we doubt, right? We let the world and its oppression affect us, our thinking, our emotions, and then ultimately our actions and what we believe. But we need each other. That's why we're called the church, to support and encourage. And with everybody, the millennials that they say are running from the church, they need the church. They need to be supported and undergirded, lest they fall away. Because that's what happens when you become an island. When you go out on your own, you fall away. You get discouraged and you lose your way. The justice of God will often not be obvious in this world. People who do good often suffer. That's a question that's asked. Why do bad things happen to good people? And people who do evil often prosper, we see. But God is just. And even though his justice may be hidden for a time, it will become obvious when Jesus Christ is revealed. The justice of God is a central truth in the Bible. God never acts out of vindictiveness. He always acts with justice. You can have absolute confidence that no one will be punished for a sin he or she hasn't committed. No sin will be punished in a way that is disproportionate to the offense. And no one will escape from the justice of God. God knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is a surprise to him. I didn't see that coming. God doesn't say that. God knows. No one intimidates God. No one has leverage against God. Power and wealth count for nothing with God because he owns everything. That means you can have confidence in the absolute justice of God. You may be discouraged for a time because your timing doesn't line up with God's timing, but are you truly submitted to God if you're waiting for your timing to happen? It's about God. It always has been about God. Chip Ingram says this, life during the brief segment of human history may not always be fair. But when life inside and outside the segment are taken into account together, God's justice will be perfect. In the big picture, he makes all things right. Between this life and the life to come, you and I can know that no person who has ever lived will get a raw deal, even if it looks that way right now. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. God's throne is established on righteousness and justice. Psalm 89 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. When Jesus returns, one of these key things he is going to do is release justice on the earth throughout every nation. He's just not going to visit your subdivision. He's not going to visit your city. When Jesus comes back, it's about justice and righteousness for the whole world. Because that's when judgment will happen. That's when that process will come forth. Isaiah 42 says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. The Lord said it. Throughout the Bible, human injustice is continually rebuked and judged by God. He is consistent in his rejection of injustice in every form, in every place. Leviticus 19, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Isaiah 1, learn to do right, seek justice. Defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That's our marching orders. Jeremiah 22:3. This is what the Lord says. Do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. Jeremiah 22:13. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. And I want to read another passage. This isn't going to be on the screen. It's a little lengthy, but I want to share this with you out of the book of Amos. Let me get to it on my phone. Okay, Amos, where are you? Oh, there you are. Amos chapter 5. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, or if you have your app like I have right here, it's starting with verse 7 in Amos chapter 5. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. He who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. With a blinding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many of your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Woo, that's powerful. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals, your assemblies. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Father, forgive us for being smelly. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Those are the words of the Lord. That's a warning and an encouragement. God always stands on the side of righteousness and justice. He never chooses between them. It's not either or, it's always both. The greatest injustice the earth has ever seen. In light of the greatness of our God, we must also understand that the greatest injustice man has ever perpetrated is not injustice against one another. Instead, it's injustice that has been perpetrated against God. Why did God allow his son to die on the cross? To demonstrate his justice. Because God is just, he had to judge all the sins that he had left unpunished to the time Jesus came to the earth and the time that he died on the cross and the veil was rent in the Holy of Holies. The perfect, spotless Son of God being defamed, mistreated, tortured, and put to death at the hands of humans that God created for fellowship and love with him, killed his son. And as God who he is, just, by our sins sending to the cross, it is the greatest single act of injustice the earth has ever seen. The perfect, spotless Son of God. The continuation of this injustice is manifest through the earth to this day. To this very day, injustice is happening while we assemble. While we sit here, learn, and we sing our songs of praise to God, and some of us have divided hearts. Don't make any mistake. The devil can find his way into the church. He has, because we let him. But there is injustice going on as I speak today. But the greatest injustice the earth has ever seen is that the Son of God is not worshiped throughout the nations of the earth. Every other injustice pales in comparison to this one. For us to understand injustice rightly, we must firstly understand injustice from heaven's perspective. Injustices we inflict upon one another are firstly acts of injustice inflicted against God, because God loves all people. He loves the murderer. He loves the molester. He loves the thief. He loves us all the same. And as hard as that is to believe, how can God love them the same as me? I haven't done all that. He created them. He still loves them and still has hope for them. And we are to love the people God loves, if we love God. Because doesn't Scripture say, if we have no love for the man that God created, the person God created, how can we have love for God? It is not right. God promises to bring retribution on every form of injustice. He is committed to releasing justice on the earth. Justice is an attribute of his very nature. He will not relent until justice is served. He will make all the wrong things right. How dare we put our expectation on him? Lord, I want it right now. I want you to put them in prison, Lord. I want you to make them hurt as much as I hurt. How dare we say that to the God who is just, and his justice will be sure and will be swift in his time. We put our expectations on him when we should be following what he has already ordained and said will happen. I believe that thought, however often it occurs in our minds, though, is fleeting. He is committed to releasing this justice. How do I know that? I know that because of how my own actions and inactions are sometimes. Because sometimes my body doesn't represent what I believe or what I say I believe about his justice. Because if I believed in his justice, my actions, and I would just be one person, because sometimes I act and sometimes I don't act. And I'm different at different times. I retreat when I should advance. I know that because of what I speak when I should not, and what I don't speak when I should. There's some people that get it the other way around. It's like, you need to be quiet right now. Sometimes the best wisdom that can come out of your mouth is nothing at all. Right? Sometimes we speak when we should not speak. But the greatest sin of injustice is not speaking when we should speak, is not standing when we should stand, is not seeking our brother out and asking forgiveness because it's been a wrong done. One of the greatest moments, it was at the Methodist church in one of our worship times, and it happened yesterday on the mountain too. And it blew me away on the mountain yesterday, but a few months ago, we were at a Methodist church, and I've told you the story, but back in 1915, when the Ku Klux Klan reunited and burned a cross on Stone Mountain, it was encouraged by a Methodist Episcopal pastor. And in that moment, in that worship service, and I may have told you this, is that we brought Methodist pastors on the platform. They knelt before the pastor and asked for forgiveness. Now, it wasn't that person that did it. But you see, we all stand in judgment because of our sins, because of who we are, because of who we represent, because we're a nation. And yesterday on top of the mountain, it was so powerful. because forgiveness was given to, they brought two Jewish leaders up on the platform, up on top of the mountain. And the white and the black knelt and asked forgiveness for the injustice done to the Jewish nation. God's nation. God's people. Now we're all God's people because the gospel was brought to the Gentiles. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Lord, that he brought it to the Gentiles. But they knelt and asked for forgiveness for all the oppression and the death and the racism that has been projected toward them and acted upon them. And then through with the black pastors, they asked for forgiveness. It was powerful. It was so powerful. And the testimony after testimony of God's work in people's lives was just so powerful. If you didn't get to see it, I'm sorry. I hope we have it again. But you know what? It can happen. It can happen on a smaller scale right here in our own congregation, right? Right here in our own community. Right in your own home, in your neighborhood. It doesn't have to start here. It doesn't have to say, hey, let's all get together and let's ask forgiveness. You do it. God prompts you. Maybe there's a family in your neighborhood that is afraid, that has had bad things done to them. What comfort would it be? What assurance would it be that you go to them? They don't look like you. They don't act like you, but you're bonded together by the blood of Christ, that you go take that to them and you build a relationship and you ask for forgiveness for what has been done to them. Because maybe it's been done by someone that looks like you. That's a bridge. That's a bridge to the Father. That's the bridge that Jesus died for when he stretched his hands out to go from here to back to God. That's the bridge that we're looking for. At times when we see or hear of injustice and we choose not to do anything about it, we actually have done something about it. We have allowed it. You might say we encouraged it by not speaking up. By not standing up, you have kind of given permission for it to happen. And so therefore, by not acting, by not choosing, you chose and you acted. We have at that moment valued ourselves above another. What does Scripture say about don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather with sober judgment? Love your neighbor as yourself. The first will be last. The last will be first. Remember when you joined this movement, and I'm not talking about one race, I'm talking about Christianity. When you joined Christianity, and it is a movement, it's not just, oh, we're all denominations. We've made these divisions. But remember, we're all one in the blood of Christ. When you joined this movement, and that's what it is, you said, I will live differently than the world. Because this world, man, has changed from the one God created. We have messed this up. Therefore, we have to live in it. Why does God let that happen? That's your fault and my fault. It's not God's fault. We have to believe God when he says the weak are made strong when we stand with him. So when justice comes, when God fully rectifies the injustice in our city and nation, the outcome will not be a new social or political movement. When justice comes, though many social and political wrongs will be overthrown, the outcome will ultimately be a movement of the Holy Spirit power that will bring many people under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember the outpouring in the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit? What happened? Come on. People knew about the church then. The church of Jesus Christ. They knew. It's going to happen again. When justice comes to our city, we'll see many who are bound with experience freedom from that. Those who are oppressed will be set free. The brokenhearted will be healed. In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The Spirit of God will glorify the Son of God, and the lost will turn to the Lord Jesus in mass numbers. We have to stand in the gap. We have to be intentional. He's waiting for us to step out in faith. You know, I was, as we were worshiping right here and we were singing these songs, the scripture, and I can't tell you exactly where it is right now. I've read it 100 times. But what kept coming to mind is, to me, is, especially after experience yesterday, was, Lord, thank you for your glory, that all of this is just garbage compared to knowing Christ, as Paul said. My house means nothing. The money I have in the bank means nothing. The resources I have mean nothing. But knowing Christ means everything. He is my sustenance. He is my provision. He is my strength. He is my courage. He works through me. I can't do it on my own. I don't have that kind of strength. Only by the power of His Spirit can I do or say anything that He asked me to do. And believe me, as I'm maturing in Christ, it doesn't get easier. He calls us to stronger things because we're built up, because we have spiritual muscles. And He wants to use those muscles as He builds them to do greater things for His kingdom. Revival across the city of Atlanta is ultimately the justice of the Lord wants to release. The earthly outcome of justice is repentance, reconciliation, and revival that turns the masses back to Jesus. Hosea 6 says this, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the 3rd day, He will raise us up, and we may live in His sight." How can it be? Because the Lord said it will be. Doesn't matter how we get there. Lord, you know, some people like, no, well, I want to know how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, at what time this will happen. You know, that's Mike McGuire. It's like, Lord, I want to know what's going to happen right now. And my wife just says, hey, just go with the flow, you know? That's her. That's how she's like. It's like, it'll happen when it happens. She doesn't say it like that. Don't tell her I said that. She's not here today. But pray for her. She's getting over that bug that I brought back from Peru. She's got it now, so pray for her. We want to know when it'll happen. We just have to believe in the Lord that it'll happen and do what He's asked us to do. Do our part. Walk in obedience. Walk in the Spirit. Take the step. Many times we want to run ahead and say, Lord, let's get it done now. I was talking to Jana this morning. We were having a conversation about why doesn't it happen now? Why doesn't God do something about it now? And I said, Jana, you know, it's like... It was kind of a weird conversation we were having, but I said, you know, Lord has a destination for us, and He has a goal in mind. But all the plans that we make, and He says make plans, but He says He'll control the steps. One step at a time. It's in His time that needs to happen. One step at a time is all He asks to take, and He says take it in faith. Believe me, I'm going to be there. Trust me, justice will come. I am righteousness, and the blood of my Son lives in you, so you are covered in His righteousness. Therefore, you are righteous. But the flesh keeps battling, yes? We're imperfect. The flesh is trying to pull us back. But we must submit every day, daily repent, daily confess, daily submit. Daily take up our cross and say, another day, Lord, I want to live for You. Forgive my trespasses yesterday. Allow me the strength to forgive those who trespass against me so I can show grace and mercy that they may know the love of Jesus. It's Your love, God, that I'm reflecting. It's not me because I don't have it in me. There is no good in me apart from God. Only you in me and through me can I love the way you want me to love. So don't try to do it in your own strength. You can't do it. You have to submit, be prayed up, be read up, have the word of the Lord hidden in your heart that you can recall it just like that. It's not for you to keep. Do some of you think that? That his word was for you to keep? His word was for you to nourish you and build you up and give you strength. But you're supposed to pass that thing on so that others may experience the power of the Lord. Because you can't change anybody. That's what me and Jana talked about. You can't change anybody. You may influence somebody, but you can't change them from the inside out. That's only by the power of the Spirit. So why are you trying? Just be obedient and walk in what God's called you to walk in, as hard as or easy it is. How can it be? Because Jesus said so. Because he died for it to happen. The band is going to sing a song called How Can It Be? At a point in the song, I'm going to get up. I just want to prepare your minds for this right now. Because some of you are going to need a little courage for this. You know, we have altar calls up here, and make the front of the stage an altar. This whole room, and I apologize ahead of time for visitors if you're not used to this, but this whole auditorium is going to become an altar. And I want you to go to people that don't look like you. And I want you to grab hands, and I want you to pray together. I want you to pray that we would have the strength, that you would have the strength to stand for injustice, that you would stand up for justice and speak when the Lord tells you to speak, and don't speak when he tells you to be silent. But that we have to stand up to knock down racism and do our part. And just for a couple minutes, I want you to move out of your seats, and I want you to just acknowledge that this can happen. Today, right now, in our lifetime, it can happen. Because the Lord is ready to pour forth his justice. He's ready to pour forth his righteousness. Are we willing to be the conduits, the tools of what he wants to do? That's what I want you to pray for. And I'm not going to lead you in that. You lead it. You love the same God I love. You pray to the same God I pray to. It's a conversation. Just pray to him. And then Aaron, at the point, he's going to lead us into communion time. So listen to the band sing right now.